Acts chapter 20. Figured out earlier I had to sing tonight too. Pastor just left me high and dry, amen. I love it. Welcome. I do want to say it's an honor to serve here at Heritage Baptist Church and to be the associate pastor again. It's just an honor for me and my family to be able to work here and to be a part of this great church. And I would not be here if I thought the church was dead. I know this church is a living church. It's a growing church, and I want to be a part of it. I really do. And so I appreciate the church allowing me and my family to be here. And I'm just looking forward to what the Lord has for us. Amen. And I just see great things. To see souls saved, join the church, disciple them, it's priceless. It really is. And to be a part of that is just an honor. And I just want to encourage you tonight with the message. So in Acts chapter 20, we're going to find in verse 17 a story of Paul. Now we'll go over a lot of things tonight, but I want to hammer home some things about the life of Paul. And I want you to notice in verse 17 of Acts chapter 20, matter of fact, if you will, for the sake of time, I want you to just look at verse 19. Look, if you will, verse 19. He says, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept nothing." Now notice that. "And how I kept nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that the bonds and afflictions abide me." Now notice verse 24 again. And I'm sure you've heard this verse many times, but let's look at it. He says, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself." You know what? That's a good statement. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. You know, our agenda and our goals and our ambitions in life ought to be those of the Lord Jesus Christ and not of ourselves. And Paul said, "For me to live is Christ," right? He said, "It's not my life, but it's Christ's." Notice the rest of this. He said, "So that I may finish my course with joy." You ever see somebody finish their course with joy? They're few far between nowadays. People go sliding into heaven now. Amen. Go grumping in, what's the word I want to use there? Grapping into heaven. Amen. Grumbling, I was going to say, but that's a Alabama term. But notice what else he says. "And the ministry," now notice this, Paul didn't receive a ministry of his own self. He says, "The ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Now, I'll preach here in just a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. We love you. We need you tonight. I cannot stand and do what I do, Lord, without you. And Lord, you're going to have to be my lips and my thoughts and my heart tonight. I pray you be with your folks tonight. I pray, God, that you would open their hearts. And Father, we just look forward to what you have for us. Now, help us. And Lord, direct us. And God, we yield ourselves to you, to the Holy Spirit, to your will and to your word. And we ask that all things be done to honor and glorify Jesus Christ. It's in his precious name we pray. Amen. I want you to notice what he says here. And he says some very important things that we need to look at tonight. But Paul said that, notice in verse 22, he says, "I and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem." In these few passages of Scripture, in the last couple of chapters, Paul is saying, "I want to get back to Jerusalem." Jerusalem's a very important place in the Bible. I'll give these to you very quickly as a way of introduction. Some quick things about Jerusalem. Number one, it's a place of power. It was the hub of Christianity, so to speak, in those days. The Pharisees described the city of David. It was called the city of God. And we know that one day, amen, that there's going to be a new Jerusalem, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But it was a place of power. But also, number two, it was a place of prayer. In the confines of the city of Jerusalem was a little place called the Garden of Gethsemane. I believe we all know where that is, or know what that is, where our Lord Jesus knelt on His knees and began to weep, as it were, sweat drops of blood from the Garden of Gethsemane. Even today, they still pray in the city of Jerusalem. It's called the Wailing Wall, which they think is the wall that was left after the Second Temple. And they pray there even today, and people stick their prayers in the cracks of the rocks there. Even today, it is called a place of prayer. But also, number three, I want you to notice that it's a place of pain and payment. Calvary was just outside of the walls of Jerusalem. You know, a man could be on the porch of the temple and see Calvary across the way and see our Lord Jesus hang there. That was the place of the Last Supper, the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection. It's a place of pain and payment. But also, and I mentioned this a while ago, that it's a place of promise. One day, the Lord Jesus is going to come from heaven. In the millennial kingdom, He said, I saw a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. He says, it's adorned for the bride. Amen. I like that. It's made for us, and we're going to spend 1,000 years with our Lord there. And of course, we're going to be with the Lord forever anyway. But Jerusalem was an important part of the New Testament. Now, in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, here's what's said about Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus told the disciples, He said, tarry here until you be endued with power. Now, we know that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, they were given that power. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, I want to give you some things tonight. I hope that'll be a help to you. I want you to look again in your Bible. But I want you to go back to verse 16 of chapter 20 and verse 16. Verse 16, the Bible says, and Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. I wouldn't spend the time there either. Amen. Amen. Yeah, amen. But notice this. I like this. He said, for he hasted, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. He said, I'm not worried about Asia. I want to go back to Jerusalem. He said, I desire to go to Jerusalem. Paul, he had a mission, and his mission was to get back to Jerusalem. Notice what he said again in verse 22. He said, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit, where? Unto Jerusalem. He said, not knowing what shall befall me there. Basically, what he was saying, they're wanting to kill me there. But I want to go back there. Now, I'll give you some things, three things tonight, very quickly. Not as quickly as Brother Henderson, but it will be quickly. And not as good as Brother Henderson, but it will be quickly. Now notice number one, I want you to notice this mission that Paul was on. This mission that Paul was on. Number one, this was a spiritual mission. This was a spiritual mission. Notice if you will again, verse 22, he said, and now behold, I go bound how? In the Spirit. You know, I picture Paul, now spiritually speaking, not physically speaking, he was handcuffed to the Holy Spirit. He said, this is a spiritual mission. This is not like any other mission I've ever had. He said, I go bound in the Spirit. Spirit said, let's go. I want you to go to Jerusalem. Listen tonight, Paul longed to go back there. But you know what? I believe this is that Paul had a mission that he knew was a spiritual mission. And let me ask you this tonight. God has a spiritual mission for you. What is it? God has a spiritual mission for you. You know what? God didn't save you to sit, soak, and sour. I remember that Brother Weedo says that every time he comes to the church. Sit, soak, and sour. That's it. That's the epitome of Baptist churches today, is that we're comfortable where we are. Instead of saying, you know what? God put me here. He saved me. He gave His Son to die on the cross for me, not so I can sit, soak, and sour. He saved me because He wants me to have a spiritual mission in my life. Just like you ought to have purpose in your life because Jesus Christ is your Savior, you've also got to look spiritually and say, you know what? I have a spiritual mission. You know what? That ought to give you a sense of joy and a sense of godly pride in your life that God of heaven would say, you know what? I've chosen you, Miss Treadwell, to have this spiritual mission. And Brother Treadwell, I got this spiritual mission for you. You know what it is? It's to make sure it gets printed. What? The Word of God. Make sure those tracts get printed. But Tim, he's got a spiritual mission for you. He's got a spiritual mission for Mr. Bird and everybody here tonight. But it's your job to find what the spiritual mission is for your life. Turn to chapter 19, if you will. Chapter 19, verse 21. I'll get excited here in a minute. I like to see how much red my face can get. Amen. People say, why do you preach so angry? I said, no, I'm just so excited. I can't get it all out quick enough. My motor runs at 90, but my mouth runs at 60. Amen. Now notice verse 21 of chapter 19. The Bible says, after these things were ended, Paul, now notice this, purpose in the Spirit. To do what? Which he had passed through Macedonia and Arcadia. To do what? To go to Jerusalem. Saying, after I have been there, I must see Rome. He said, I'm bound in the Spirit. The Spirit of God is inside of me. And He's telling me, I got to go to Jerusalem. Paul, you got to go to Jerusalem. You got to go to Jerusalem. Have you ever had that conviction in your heart? And the Lord says, you got to go tell them about Christ. Please, give them a tract. Please, tell your neighbor. That's a spiritual mission that God has for your life. God has daily missions for your life. And God has lifelong missions for your life. And it's up to you to find that spiritual mission for your life. So important. It was a spiritual mission. Well, what a mission it was. Amen. We know how Paul's life ends. We know how the story ends. You know what? We can say things about Paul because we know that he finished his course, that he ran his race. But you know what? We can't say that about me and you because we're still here. We haven't, the last page of our book has not been written. Our last mission has not been done. What if we send all of our troops over to, let's just say, Afghanistan? Y'all may know that place. And let's say they get over there and they say, all right, we're ready. I mean, they've been trained. They're ready to go. But nobody's given them a mission. You know what you can do whenever you don't have a mission? Nothing. What good is a soldier who is outfitted if he doesn't have a mission? What good is it if you carry around a King James Bible? What is it if you go around with Jesus in your heart? If you don't have a mission, it's no good. We need a spiritual mission in our life. We need direction in our life. The Bible says that He will guide our path, that He will direct our path, and that He will watch over us where we go, whether over here or over here. God's watching over. Aren't you glad God can be with the people in Philippines tonight, our missionaries that we support? Aren't you glad God sees them just as clearly as He sees us? You know, sometimes me, I'm talking about, when I preach to me, of course. But sometimes I think, you know, I just hope God's being with those missionaries. You know what? He sees them just as clearly as He sees me. He sees them just as clearly as He sees you. You know why? Because they're on a special mission. Now I want to give you a second thing. I want you to notice also what this mission was. Not only was it a spiritual mission, but back in chapter 20, verse 22, I want you to know it was a submitted mission. You know what? Paul was submitted to the Lord. He was in total submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, you know the Bible commands us to be submitted and committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, if you will, verse 22 again. There's two little words in here that kind of stick out to me. He says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. But notice this next two words. Not knowing. You know how to find out if you're committed or submitted? Is this. All right, I got a mission for you. Okay, what is it? I want you to go over there to those people that want to kill you, and they've got rocks and sticks and swords in their hand. Husbands, that's when you volunteer your wife, right? Honey, this is yours. Go right ahead, honey. No. No, when God puts us sometimes in the direction of a mission and God puts it in our heart, we're bound in the Spirit to go. We know it's a spiritual mission. And I remember hearing the stories many times about missionaries. They knew that if they went over there, matter of fact, I can't remember the name if you can find, but there was a couple missionaries went over there and the headhunters ate them. Well, guess what? This lady said, I'll go. So they flew her in, dropped her off, and the people were surrounding her. They dropped her off. She said, come pick me up in some time. She was going to go out there and try to witness to these cannibal people. And the pilot dropped her off and said, we'll never see you again. Goodbye. We appreciate you. And took off. But whenever the time came that he was to come back and pick her up, he flew over. And he saw that they were carrying her body. And he said, oh no, they killed her. And now they're carrying her around as a trophy. And it was said this. Said that the pilot landed scared to death that he was just going to receive a body and take it back to the States. But they were carrying her around because they had been told that a white lady would come and tell them about a Jesus from the other missionaries. And whenever they were carrying her, they were lifting her up because all of them had gotten saved. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. God says, Michael Wiggins, I want you and your family to go to the Bahamas and start a church. I'd say, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Michael, I want you to go to Hawaii, amen, and take Mr. Byrne and Brother Stan with you. And I want you to start a church. I say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Oh, happy day. Amen. But now, Michael, I want you to go to the lost tribes of the darkest jungle in the world. Now, Lord, I don't speak very well. I believe Moses tried that one. Now, Lord, I can't speak well. Lord said, I'll take care of that. Take Aaron with you. Though he'll never speak for you, you take him with you. Oh, man, he took that away. Well, Lord, no, listen to me. If it's a spiritual mission that the Spirit of God is drawing you to go to, I promise you God will take care of you. And some of you, speaking on a smaller scale, maybe it's you tonight, and you're saying, I don't know, God. You want me to go across the road and speak to my neighbor about Jesus? Lord, I'm scared to death. You know what? I would rather speak to a stranger than I would my family about Christ. Why is that? Well, I tell you what, it's hard. And the Lord burns my heart and He says, I want you to speak to them. And boy, I'm thinking, God, I don't know. But you know what? I've got to be submitted to Him. You know what submit means? It's a little more than commitment. When you submit something, that means you hand it over. Like I submit my resume. That means I've got it and I'm giving it to Miss Charlotte. I'm giving it to her. That means I'm giving it away. That simply means if you're submitted to the Lord, you're giving your will over to Him and saying, Lord, if it's a spiritual mission, I want to go. I'm going to be submitted to it. Now, that's hard to do. Be careful what you submit to. Make sure if you submit to it that you can commit to it. That commitment simply means you're going to keep your end of the bargain. Be submitted. It was a submitted ministry, mission. They wanted to kill Paul. Notice in chapter 21 and verse 31, if you will. Verse 31 says, and as they went about to give him sweet tea and a steak. No, it's not what my Bible says. It says, and as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captains of the band that all Jerusalem was what? In an uproar. Jerusalem said, no, we don't want Paul. By the way, you know who didn't want Paul? It was the religious crowd. You know who doesn't want Heritage Baptist Church here? It ain't necessarily the lost people of this town and these communities. It's the religious crowd that thinks they're better than everybody else, that they have a better way. But listen to me, the chief priest and all the Pharisees said, no, we don't want him. Why? Because he's tearing our town apart. By the way, I believe Heritage Baptist Church is tearing Haslett upside down. Amen. Telling people about Jesus, seeing people get saved. Hallelujah for that. If God be for us, who can be against us? Paul said, I'm submitted. They're going to go. I know. Paul said, for me to die is Christ. Amen. If I die, oh well, or for me to live is Christ, but to die is what? Gain. He said, I'm going to go bound in the Spirit. I'm going to go and I'm going to give them the gospel. I've got a certain time. I want to be there by Pentecost. And he says, I'm going to go even though they want to kill me. Now, if you remember his first trip to Jerusalem in chapter 9, remember he was on his way to Damascus, on the Damascus Road, and remember when he got saved, his conversion. But also in chapter 9, when Ananias touched his eyes, the scales fell from his eyes. Well, the rest of chapter 9 says that he went up with the disciples. Remember what the disciples said? We don't like him. You know what happened at that day? Jerusalem got upset. Because why? Because Saul was now brother Paul. Amen. He had been changed. He had been changed. He was a child of God. Let me tell you this tonight, that if you're a child of God, you should never be driven by fear. But you should always be driven by faith. Don't be scared of the enemy. Don't be scared if it's a spiritual mission God has you on. Whether it's, say, preacher, I don't know if I teach that Sunday school class. I don't know. If the Lord's put it in your heart and in the pastor's heart, and the pastor came to you and asked you, I think you can do it, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can through him. Now listen to me. I can't preach. You know what? I used every excuse in the book. I'm from Alabama. Amen. All the Alabamans said amen right there. I'm the most uneducated person in the world. Amen. Me and Barney Fife got our education together. Amen. I was raised up on Little House on the Prairie. Hallelujah. Amen. Andy Griffith Show, somebody say amen. I'm young, but I'm old-fashioned. Amen. I listened to the 60s music ever before I listened to the 80s music. That's how I was raised. But listen to me tonight. Here it is. I used every excuse in the book. Lord said, I want you to go to Fort Worth, Texas and go to school. I said, Lord, there is no way. I'm used to 500 people in my town. Not 5 million. 5 trillion, whatever it is in Fort Worth now. Amen. Traffic, if you gauge it by traffic, there's 500 million that live here. But you know what? The Lord said, this is a spiritual mission. And you know what? God has been good to me and my family over the years. He's used me in ways I never would have thought He would have used me. You know what I decided a long time ago, Brother Tim? I decided this. I said, you know, in me is no good thing. Dwelleth no good thing. So, Lord, I'm just going to submit my life to You. And the moment I did that, God said, all right, here we go. I can use you now. I never thought I'd be back at Heritage Baptist Church. Amen. We saw the first days together. Amen. When we met in the house, Alan's house. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all do. Amen. Say amen right there. I sang the first special at Heritage Baptist. I was the first piano player. Ha ha, I beat her. It was horrible. They were begging her to come. They were sending her flowers and roses and money and cards and said, please come play the piano for us. But listen to me. I thought then, I said, God, boy, He's done with me. He sent me back to Alabama for 5.5 years. Long time flies by, and then Brother Crawford calls and says, I want you to pray about something. I said, nah, I'm happy. I'm good. Ooh, I ain't going back to being an associate pastor. But you know what? God got a hold of my heart. He said, I got a spiritual mission for you. It's no longer here where you're at. It's in Haslett, Texas. I said, Lord, what did I do? Did I yield myself? No. I came up with excuses, Brother John. I said, Lord, I got a house. I got a house payment. My kids are in school. They love the sky. I mean, things are great. Lord said, no, I got a spiritual mission for you. You know what I had to do? Lord had to break me. I finally submitted myself to Him and into the hand of God. But I want you to notice the thing about this. Have you ever just wondered why Paul was so intent on going back to Jerusalem? You know, he said, man, I'm bound in the Spirit. I've got to get back to Jerusalem. I don't think he was just wanting to go back just to be there at Pentecost and be there at the time of the feast. I don't think he just wanted to be there to worship, because why? They didn't want him in the temple. They didn't want him anywhere around Jerusalem. Here's what I believe. I believe not only was this a spiritual mission, a submitted mission, but this was a soul-warning mission. Paul was going to witness to some people there in Jerusalem. Now I want you to notice some things tonight. Notice verse 31, if you will, in chapter 20. Again, verse 31. Now notice what he says here. Verse 31. This is a great verse. Verse 31 tells us that, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years. Now notice this. He said, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. My friends, can I tell you tonight that we are all soul warners. We want to label ourselves as soul winners, but you know what? Jesus does the saving. We just do the warning. We just tell people that there's a hell coming, that there's a heaven sweet, that Jesus will save them and that He loves them. This was a soul warning mission. Now I want to give you this tonight. I hope this will help you. I want you to notice verse 24 or verse 23 in chapter 20, if you will. Just a couple more verses tonight and I'm done. Listen, verse 23 says, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. Now verse 24 says, but none of these things move me. You know what Paul just said? I'm not worried about going to Jerusalem. It's not moving me. It's not moving me from the path that God has before me. Listen to me real quick tonight. Don't let things offset you. Don't let things counteract what God's trying to do in your life. If God has given you a spiritual mission, you stay on that spiritual mission until God Himself tells you to get off of it. You know what I thought I'd do for the rest of my life? I thought I'd pastor and be comfortable. I love pastoring. You know why? Because I could wake up at 10 o'clock. I'm just kidding. That's not pastoring. Amen. I wished it was. I do kind of miss it. Man, I'm up here at the church 24-7 now. I've never in my life seen so much church in my life. I had an office at my home, the other place. That way I could at least see my family a little bit. But you know, I said, you know what? God's going to leave me here. I'm ready to plant some roots, ready to retire here. But you know what? God didn't do that. God said, I've got another mission for you. And He said, none of these things move me. He said, count I my life? He said, neither count I my life dear to myself. Paul said, I don't care if they kill me. You know what? I've always said this, don't threaten me with heaven. Amen. Now, I don't want to necessarily die tonight. I'm not volunteering for it. Amen. It's like the little boy in class, you know, he was in Sunday school class and the teacher said, how many of y'all want to go to heaven? Everybody raised their hand except for little Johnny over there. And the teacher said, oh, great. Little Johnny, you don't want to go to heaven? He said, oh, yeah, I want to go to heaven. I thought you was just getting a busload to go tonight. Amen. But listen to me. Don't threaten me with heaven. That's what Paul said. He said, I don't count my life dear because I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. I'm a child of the King. Now notice this, if you will. He said, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, I'm ready. I'm ready to go to Jerusalem. He said, I'm bound in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. And you can't help but ask yourself, why was he so adamant about going to Jerusalem? I want you to notice just a couple things and I'm done. Notice, if you will, chapter 9 of Acts. Chapter 9. Chapter 9 of Acts. Paul's conversion happens. And I kind of gave you a little bit of this earlier, but I just want to hammer this home. I want you to notice that this was a soul-warning mission. Oh, hi, Mom, wherever the video camera is. My mom watches all the services. She said, say hi to me tonight, if you will. Amen. So I just thought of that. Now, notice, if you will, in verse 13. Verse 13 says in chapter 9, it says, and Ananias answered the Lord. Now, here's what's happening, is that the Lord came to Ananias and said, now, Ananias, I want you to go, and I want you to be with the one named Saul. Ananias goes, Saul of Tarsus? That guy? Yeah, I want you to go. You know what Ananias said? Okay, Lord. He was submitted. Now notice this. Boy, this is good. He says, Lord, I've heard many things. Amen. Notice what he says. He says, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints. Where? At Jerusalem. And notice this, if you will. Go over to verse 21, I believe it is. Verse 21. Now here it is. Here's what the disciples said. It says, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name? What name? The name of Jesus. Where? In Jerusalem? and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? They said, he's done so much damage in Jerusalem. We don't want him here. Lord, he has purposely just tore Jerusalem up, the churches that were started. But he said, I want you to take care of him. Now, I want you to notice this, and I'm done tonight. In chapter 26 of Acts, I got one more verse. We got to hit these verses. We always say, I can't read this for the sake of time, but if we ain't got time to read the Bible, amen, we're in trouble. Chapter 26, verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 and 11 gives us a little bit about Paul's past. Now, listen to me. I promise you, there's not one person here tonight that has the past as Paul had. I promise you. And let me say this, just to interject this, is that if Jesus can save Paul, Jesus can save anybody. Paul is an example. Let me go one further than that. Not only is there nobody here that God cannot save, no, is there nobody in this entire world that God cannot save, but there's not one person that God can't call if he can call Paul. Now notice, if you will, in chapter 26, verse 10, the Bible says, now he's talking about Paul here. He says, which things also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. Paul's speaking here. He said, having received authority from the chief priests. Ain't that amazing? The religious crowd wanted to do away with the Christians. Almost seems like today. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. By the way, do you know who gave his voice against Stephen being stoned? That was Paul. Paul was there on that very day when Stephen was there and he was stoned to death. And Stephen said, Lord, just forgive him. I wonder if that made an impact on Paul's life. I wonder if Paul thought about that when he heard that great Christian, that great man of God, stand there being stoned and Stephen saying, forgive him. Now notice verse 11, it says, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compel them to be blasphemed. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Paul said, you know what? Jerusalem was my city. I was a Pharisee there. I was the head man there. I called the shots. The chief priests would tell me, hey, take care of those Christians. There's a church trying to start over there. Go take care of them. And Paul would go and he would take care of them and take their lives and persecute them and cause them to be blasphemed in front of the streets of Jerusalem. But listen to me. I believe Paul was bound in the Spirit. I believe Paul was determined to go to Jerusalem because that was where he hurt the most people. And he said, I got to go back and show them what grace is. I got to go back and show them what God has done in my life. I believe Paul wanted to go back to Jerusalem so he could tell people, hey, I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not that man that was there. I'm not that drunkard anymore. I'm not that drug addict anymore. I'm not that person who blasphemed against God. I'm that person who loves God. And the grace of God is sufficient. Wow. Now listen to me, I don't know about you, but if I can imagine the maniac at Gadara, remember? He's there in the tombs that said no man can bind him. They tried chaining him up. He's running around there. And then you remember Jesus got off the boat there after he'd taken the disciples across the sea and calmed the storm. He got on the other side and he stepped on the shore. And the Bible says, and there one met him of the tombs. And that man said, hey, listen, I'm crazy. And Jesus said, I'll take care of that. You know what happened when the maniac at Gadara got saved? The Bible says he went to his city. And he began to tell them about Jesus. Now listen to me. Here's what makes a difference in this world. And here's what I'm getting at. I'm telling you, and I'm preaching on this subject. You got to go back to your Jerusalem. And you got to tell people about Jesus. Paul comes walking into the streets of Jerusalem. And everybody's like, oh, there's Paul. There's Saul. There he is. Everybody, put your Bibles down. Put your psalm books down. Amen. I'm sure they had psalm books. The red ones. Amen. The old heavenly highway hymn, whatever they were. Amen. Hallelujah. They had them. They said, there he comes. Listen to me tonight. Paul comes walking in the street. He comes to the disciples. And disciples get beside him. People start saying, whoa, wait a minute. He's hanging out with a different crowd now. Listen to me. Here's what's going to make a difference in your Jerusalem. You got to get with a different crowd. You know what? I don't hang out with the people I hung out with in high school. I can't tell you what happened to none of them, except for what I see on Facebook, and I ain't seen nothing good yet. Amen? But I want to tell you what, I like hanging out with this kind of crowd that's here tonight. And you know what? I like hanging out with people that are saved and born again. I like hanging out with people of like faith. Amen? I like hanging out with you folks. You know what? I like to say I got rid of my old friends, and Paul come walking in. He's not walking with the Pharisees no more. Can't you just see them? I can see, you know, I picture things. If you hear me preach very long, you'll know I paint some pretty crazy pictures. But I picture it as a Western. I can't help it. Boots and spurs. Ching, ching. Paul comes walking in. The disciples are beside him. They ain't got six shooters. They just got the power of God. And they go in blasting away with the gospel of truth. Wow! Yes, sir, Mr. Saul, what can I do for you? Listen, I want to tell you about one named Jesus. Jesus, save my soul. Now, can you imagine a man who used to persecute the church of God and kill the Christians is now saying he's one of them? Folks, I want to tell you what. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, matter of fact, look in Acts 1:8. I want you to notice what he said. This is amazing to me. Acts 1:8. He said, and ye shall receive power that after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But notice what he says here. He says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both where? First in Jerusalem. Paul was just living the Scripture. And he's going back to the city where God said you got to start in Jerusalem. Let me tell you tonight, my friends, we should never expect our missionaries to do what we're not willing to do here. God help us if we give thousands of dollars to a missionary to go to Brazil and Argentina and Guatemala and Honduras, and yet we won't witness to one person here in our Jerusalem. Haslett needs the Lord. And they're going to only get the Lord if we go and if we tell people we need to reach our Jerusalem. We need to go back and show them that, hey, I'm not hanging out with that old crowd. I'm not the same man I used to be. I'm different. How about it tonight? Paul said, I got to go. I got to go. Why? Because those are the people I hurt the most. Maybe tonight you need to go back to your mom and dad. Maybe you hurt them. Maybe your children. Maybe your neighbor. Maybe a co-worker and say, you know what, I'm not that person anymore. I'm so sorry. Oh, I was lost whenever I said that to you. I lost my temper. I'm so sorry. Mom, I'm so sorry. You know what, I had to go to my dad and do the very same thing after over a year of not talking to my father. I had to go back to my dad and say, Dad, I'm sorry. Even though nothing was my fault, I had to go to him and say, you know what, I'm sorry. You know why? Because I wanted a testimony before my lost father. That I'm changed. I'm not the man I used to be. Boy, my brother got saved. My brother was a heathen. I can say that because he's my brother. But let me tell you, when God saved my brother, you know, the first thing my brother did, he went after my father. Because my father was his worst enemy. And he went to my dad and he said, Dad, I'm a changed man. My dad said, well, we'll see. You know what? My brother's working at a boys' home up in Missouri. Amen, Brother Reed. And you know what? He's been doing that for 2 years now. Been sober, been drug-free, working in a men's home. He's over the men's home now. The boys' home now. You know what? I just saw my dad for Christmas. He said, your brother really has changed. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm so glad my brother went back to Jerusalem first. He should never want to reach anybody in Missouri before he reaches his own family. Maybe that's you tonight. Let's stand heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Tim, come. Father, we need you tonight to be with this invitation, Lord. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that needs to reach their Jerusalem. Lord, please bless tonight. Bless the invitation. Lord, we're so grateful that you love us. Lord, our hearts are open to you tonight. We ask everything to be done in Christ's name. Amen. Hymn 351, if you will. Hymn 351. These altars are open for you tonight. Maybe you need to come pray for your Jerusalem. Maybe you need to come pray for your family, for your neighborhood, whatever it is tonight, as Brother Tim begins to